Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. No sooner did Madonna conquer the pop charts than she embarked on another career as an actor. It started with Desperately Seeking Susan, which featured this Madonna hit, and moved up and down through films like A League of Their Own, Evita, Dick Tracy, and over a dozen more. She's even directed several movies herself. Joining me here in the studio to talk about Madonna's film career are Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Good to have you guys back on Soundcheck.
Nice to be
Hi,
here.
John.
So let me just put this out there, that Madonna as an actress has not garnered nearly the acclaim as Madonna the musician.
That is absolutely true. Although, I mean, she has received many Razzie nominations. And
the Razzies are for, like, the bad movies, the bad actors. And she holds the record for most Razzie nominations and wins.
So, that's something. That's something.
So her acting has received a lot of attention, yes.
So what's wrong? I mean, she's such a charismatic performer. Why wouldn't that naturally translate onto celluloid?
You know, I think a lot of musicians think that it will because they are such performers on stage. And, you know, and so many people have tried this, right? Bowie, Jagger, I mean, the list.
Sinatra.
You know, Sinatra. Sinatra, I think, actually did pretty well,
yes.
though, right?
Yes, he did.
Manchurian Candidate. I don't know why Madonna isn't able to translate. I guess it's because she's such a compendium of personas, and maybe she can't sort of inhabit the role that's written into a script for her. I don't know why it is.
I think it's because she can't be realistic. I think that she is such a performer, and she's so much a big show, and that's what makes her a great stage act, a great concert to see. And when she tried Broadway, people said she was fantastic there, but the subtleties of the camera, dealing with close-ups, dealing with interacting with others as opposed to just being the center of attention, I think that's a big challenge for Madonna.
Are you saying there's no there? there's no central core to pull on when it comes to the...
I'm saying there's a big difference between showmanship and great acting.
All right. In 1986, Madonna co-starred in a movie called Shanghai Surprise with her then-husband Sean Penn. She picked up a Razzie for it and got some pretty bad reviews.
You know, I could have stayed home in Brooklyn, Massachusetts and married a nice Ivy League banker.
Why didn't you?
Well, for the whole country standing in a bread line and I just wanted to do something useful. Where could I wind up with a bunch of chickens?
Then ducks.
That is some of the worst fake crying I have... I mean...
And ducks.
All right. So you guys are here to perhaps show us, you know, another side of Madonna's acting career. And we've asked each of you to pick a film. We've also asked our listeners via Twitter, what do you think about Madonna as an actress? And folks, you can still tweet us at Soundcheck or leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org. Let me read you guys what James tweeted at us. Her best, Desperately Seeking Susan, Dick Tracy, League of Their Own, Evita. Her worst, Swept Away, Shanghai Surprise. Always felt Madonna did not get enough credit for Evita, which was a real acting challenge and a high-impact vocal workout. Now, Kristen, Evita's your choice, right?
Evita is my choice, and I think one of the reasons why is... That's a great tweet, by the way, but I think that one of the reasons why is what I was saying earlier about the showmanship and about almost every song that she sings, it's not a duet. It's really her by herself. It's her being the center of attention. But also something that Evita does, which is similar to Desperately Seeking Susan, is she's playing kind of a fantasy version of how the public already perceives her to be. This is somebody who lost a parent, worked her way to the top, used her sexuality as a centerpiece, possibly manipulated people, and just then ended up all up there on stage as the center of attention. And that's the Evita story, and that's really how at least her public persona is.
Rafer, didn't this movie get, like, mixed reviews at best?
I think people actually were quite impressed with Madonna. I mean, I remember this was one of the times when people thought, oh, you know, maybe there's something more to her. Maybe she actually can act.
So people liked her maybe more than the film, which I've read reviews where it's just like, oh, it's much ado about it. It's too much, you know.
Yeah, Alan Parker, I think, was the director,
right.
who can be a very over the top director. I remember Angel Heart, I love that movie. I'm one of the few people who does. But yeah, he's a very over the top director. But you know, again. I mean, this is a perfect role for Madonna, but also all she has to do is basically sing her way through it. It's sort of acting the way an opera singer would act. It's not still quite movie acting, you know?
Now, the film Evita is an adaptation, of course, of the musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. And I guess, Kristen, when people think of the musical Evita, most of us think of one song.
Oh, yes. Don't Cry for Me. We all know it.
So what do you think of her performance of this song in the film?
It's really a shame because we think of Madonna mostly as a singer, and she's in this movie that's a musical and it's all about singing. But the one centerpiece song, the one song we all think about with Evita, she just doesn't quite deliver. And you see, unfortunately, her limitations as a singer in the song.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. Have I said too much? There's nothing more I can think of to say to you. All you have to do is look at me to know that every word is true.
Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. That is the hit tune from the musical Evita when it was on Broadway and in London's West End with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber and lyrics by Tim Rice. Then when they made the film... not the high point of the movie, is I gather what you're saying, Kristen.
Unfortunately not. No, I really think this song should be belted out. This is a song where she's on a balcony. There are tens of thousands of people in the streets who are looking up to her and seeing her as almost an angel, as a sex symbol, as a lot of things. And I'm not going to imitate her singing here. We just heard it, but it sounds a little flat. It doesn't sound like it's being belted out.
But you don't mean flat as in pitch, just flat as in emotional effect.
Sounds
exactly.
Thin.
Thin is the right word. Yeah, thin is the right word, Rafer.
Her voice would deepen and get better, actually, over the next like 5 or 6 years as she got a little older, I think.
Yeah.
So it's Madonna Week on Soundcheck, and for the next few days, we're looking back at her 30-year career. It was 30 years ago this summer that she released that first album, and listeners, we want to hear from you. Tell us about a moment in your life that was marked by Madonna and her music or her films in some way. Call us up with your Madonna moment at 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612, or find our contact info at soundcheck.org. Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman are the co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast, and at the moment we're talking about Kristen's pick, which is Evita, despite... Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. Now, most of the singing, that song included, was lip-synced for the film, right?
Yeah, she taped it in advance, and the movie is very much like a music video. It's filled with montages, and much like a music video, there's so much spectacle, but it's all lip-synced pre-recorded songs.
Could that, Rafer, be part of the problem with, you know, you were talking about Alan Parker, the director, and the over-the-topness of some of his work? Was it like a video that had just on steroids that was just like 2 hours long instead of seven minutes?
I have to say, I'm a fan of after Les Miserables. I'm a fan of the lip synced musical movie.
Uh-huh.
I think that's really what ruined Les Miserables was everyone sang live. Everyone had really good voices, but I think you know, visually that meant that the camera had to stay on their faces and just do a close up the whole time. I think when you lip sync, it gives you a lot more freedom.
Well, now there is one moment in the film.
Yes, is
not lip-synced.
Just one. And that's a very important scene. I don't want to be a spoiler here, but I think everyone knows the story. Ava Perone. She's dying in the end. I'm just going to say it, folks.
Yeah.
She's dying and she's singing a song. And the song is not lip-synced.
And how is this for emotional effect as opposed to the lip-synced parts.
It's somewhat closer to acting.
And just to make it clear, you like this film, right?
I do. And you know what? I don't think I love it as an acting tour de force. I like it for the same reason I like Madonna's music videos. I like it for the same reason I like Madonna on stage. I like it for the same reason that Madonna's a fantastic spectacle and a great performer. I don't like it because I think she's the next Meryl Streep.
All right. Here's Madonna in the role of Eva Perón in the deathbed scene, singing live on screen during the film Evita.
The choice was mine, and mine completely. I could have any prize that I desired. I could burn with the splinter of the brightest fire, or else I could choose time.
A little bit of the deathbed scene. So that's Madonna. That's as naked. I mean, we've seen her almost naked, you know, on her videos and stuff. But, I mean, the voice is really naked there.
Yeah, and remember, the real Eva Perón at this point in her life, she's 79 pounds. She has cancer. She's only 33 years old.
Yeah.
She's a young woman who's reaching her end. And I think Madonna actually is sort of acting in that scene.
Yeah. Rafer, what do you think of Evita as a film?
I mean, I remember it being kind of in some ways, a typical musical of its time. A lot of, you know, a lot of sets, a lot of costumes. The lighting was very exaggerated. It almost in some ways was a kind of a companion piece to Dick Tracy. It a little on the cartoonish side, mm-hmm. you know.
Another movie that she was in.
Yes. And although Evita, much better, clearly.
Okay. One thing, now that you mentioned the costume changes, I do recall reading numerous reviewers mentioning the fact that she wore like 80-85 different costumes in the course of a single movie.
She wore a lot of costumes in this, and she's supposed to wear a lot of costumes. She's Eva Perón.
Yeah.
She likes her shopping. She likes her furs. She likes her dresses. She's going from poor girl to rich girl. And notably, she was pregnant through most of this movie, so they had to do costume changes to cover that up, too, throughout it.
The music, of course, adapted from the hit musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. And since the music pre-existed the film, they were not eligible for an Oscar. Unless
they have a best original song that they write just for the movie, which they did do.
That old trick.
Oh, that old trick. We've seen that one before.
Just like Les Miserables.
Yes.
So they wrote this additional song called You Must Love Me, and this ended up winning the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
Why are you at my side? How can I be any use to you now? Give me a chance and I'll let you see how. Nothing has changed. Deep in my heart I'm concealing things that I'm longing to say. Scared to confess what I'm feeling. Frightened you'll slip away. You must love me.
That is Madonna and the song You Must Love Me, which won an Oscar for Best Original Song from the movie Evita, because that is the song that they wrote specifically for the film, for the sole purpose of being nominated and hopefully winning that award. They being Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, but of course that's Madonna, whose film career is the subject of our discussion right now with Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer, the co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. So Evita is Kristen's pick. Rafer, what's yours?
My pick is Truth or Dare, the documentary, quote-unquote, from 1991.
Why quote-unquote?
Well, I think when this movie came out, it was a real cause for concern among reviewers about whether or not this was the real unvarnished truth. You know, was this the real Madonna? I think this film, though, was kind of the death knell for the modern rock doc. I think it put an end to this idea that you'd have a D.A. Pennebaker or a Maisel's Brothers coming in for Dylan or the Stones. This was Madonna calling the shots. You know, she handpicked the director, you know, produced mm-hmm. the film, mm-hmm. narrated it. And I think people had a lot of problems with that at the time.
Did you guys have problems with it?
No, I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic version of a concert movie unlike anything I'd ever seen before. It was so spectacular. It was all in black and white when it was just her being, quote, real, and in full spectacular color when she was on tour. And
on stage.
Yeah, on stage. It was just fantastic to look at, and it really just, it moves at the tempo of a music video, and it's so fun to watch.
Is she acting?
I mean, it's a great question, right? I mean, she is. You see her behind the backstage, mm-hmm. you know, in her hotel room, you know, on the bus, all these places, interacting with her dancers, her makeup artist, all these people that are in millions of people in her entourage. You don't really get the feeling, though, that she's ever letting down her guard. And of course, my favorite scene in that movie is with two of my favorite scenes involve Warren Beatty. One is who she was dating at the time. One is when he just sort of walks around refusing to talk to her or speak or say anything on record. And one is when he finally kind of lets loose on her and criticizes her for this whole shtick that she's doing.
This is crazy. Nobody talks about this on film?
Talks about what?
The insanity of doing this all on a documentary. Well, this is a serious matter, your throat, yes?
Why should I stop here?
But does anyone say it?
Who's anyone?
Well, anyone that comes into this insane atmosphere. You realize they all feel it when they come into this atmosphere. When they come into your dressing room, when they come wherever you are, they feel crazy. Now, do they talk about it?
No, they accept it.
Why don't they talk about it?
Because.
Well, you want to think about that, don't you?
No, I don't. So let's get back to my throat.
Do you want to talk at all off camera? You have nothing to say.
She doesn't want to live off camera, much less
talk. I think that's what it is.
There's nothing to say off camera. Why would you say something if it's off camera?
And tomorrow, you're going
What point is there of existing?
So if it doesn't happen on camera, Madonna, it's like it doesn't have. That's basically what Warren Beatty is saying.
It's incredibly hostile, but also fairly insightful moment from Warren Beatty.
Just to say, I mean, she's just come from the doctor.
She's actually at the doctor, and she's just had some sort of strange towel wrapped around her tongue, and the doctor's been poking around her throat. She's got a voice problem. They're actually at the doctor, and that's the doctor who says, you know, who wants to ask her, is there anything, you know, you want to say on camera? And Warren Beatty just lets loose on her. But it's true. And, you know, you can hear him say that this idea of being on camera in a documentary, letting the cameras in, is an insane idea, which is a funny thing to hear a celebrity say in 2013.
An actor.
I mean, I think that was a weird idea in 1991. But, I mean, you know, fast forward to today, and that's all anyone ever does. That's the reason people are famous, is because they put themselves on camera, you know?
But we were so naive back then, Rafer. We didn't understand reality versus script versus – we were so naive.
We didn't know what reality with a capital R meant.
Yes, exactly.
There just wasn't enough housewife-based programming to prepare us for that sort of thing yet. We're talking about the 1990 Blonde Ambition Tour.
That's right.
The focus of the film Truth or Dare. And the question that I asked before, is she acting? That's kind of – she goes there, like right away in the opening of the film.
Well, she does give this kind of monologue, and
right.
And it's funny because I think when I first saw the film, it seemed real enough to me. And now when I went back and saw it, I thought, this is exactly the kind of monologue you see everyone in every reality show do. They always cut away from the action, sit that person down and say, okay, spill your guts in this particular way.
Right.
And that's what everyone does. Oh, I feel this. Everyone processes for about 5 minutes on camera. And she's doing that again. You know, for better or for worse, this film was light years ahead of its time, you know?
This is from the opening of the film Truth or Dare, Madonna's opening monologue.
You know, I think I'm in a state of shock. I know the tour's over, but it's like last week in Spain. I really felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I couldn't take the crowds outside. I couldn't do the shows. It was too hot. Everything was getting to me, and I thought, oh, I think I'm getting ready for the depression of what I'm going to feel when the tour's over with. But I really didn't feel emotional last night. I know everybody else did, and everyone was crying, but I didn't feel emotional. It was like it already ended for me. It's like when you know someone's dying, you have to make your peace kind of before they die. I've done this with close friends of mine. It's like I make my peace with it before it happens so I don't get really hurt. And then when it happens, it's like I don't feel anything.
Wow.
Wow, that's so emotional.
Well, is it emotional or is she still on?
Right. I mean, that's the question. That's the question I think everybody wanted to know, was how much of this, how much of these scenes were handpicked, and you know what didn't we get to see? You know, the one of the very first things you see in this movie is Madonna putting her hand to the camera, shoving the guy out of the hotel room and slamming the door, say, "Go away, I'm in a meeting." And it's almost like a wink to the audience. Yeah. It's almost like a wink to say, like, you know, and I know that I'm calling the shots here, and everything that's in this movie, I decided is going to be in this movie.
So are you saying that Truth or Dare is basically a big, long episode of The Office?
Yeah. You know what it is? It's one big, long Madonna commercial, and but this also goes back to the Beatles. It's like a version of the Beatles fan club recordings, only it's much longer and made available for everyone.
We've been talking about Madonna's film career, a little more checkered than her music career, which has certainly been something worth talking about and listening to for 30 years now. Again, our Madonna week, occasioned by the 30-year anniversary of her first record. I just want to mention her first movie, Desperately Seeking Susan. You know, this goes back, Kristen, to what you were saying before. That's Madonna.
That's what we imagine Madonna to be.
Yes,
and critics loved that movie. And most critics then also said, on the one hand, we love it. On the other hand, it's probably because we think she's playing herself. And it doesn't seem like much of a stretch. And that also goes back to both the movies that Rafer and I mentioned, that it's kind of a fantasy version of her. And I would say that that's a very fun movie. And some people might say it's the height of her acting career was that first movie.
I thought she was terrific in it, and you know, I thought that was the film that brought Get Into the Groove into our homes, and I was perfectly happy with that.
Yes, but before we go, I do have to point out, just to bring it back to Evita one last time, that she actually did win an award for Evita. I don't think she won any other acting awards in her life.
It was a Globe, I think.
It was
won,
a Golden
right?
Globe for best comedy/musical actress, and so, even though we're kind of poking fun at Madonna and we're kind of pointing out that she's only best when she plays herself, she did actually win a legitimate acting award at one point.
All right. Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman, the co-hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Guys, thanks. Good to see you again.
Thanks so much, John, for having us.